Formative assessment, opportunities in the flipped classroom. So welcome. And the big ideas this week, we are going to be looking at formative assessment and what it is in the context of the flipped classroom and in the context of blended learning. We're going to look at a couple of tools that you can use. And I want to say at the outset, there are many, many tools that you can use. Our advice is keep it simple, pick one, try it out with your learners, and as you become more comfortable, then you can gradually add in some more. We're going to give you some places to go for further information and for more materials if that's what you're looking for. And the main message, as always, is try this out with your learners, see how it goes, and take it back and tweak it and go again. So before we start looking specifically at formative assessment this week, I want to just pick up on something that Pat shared with you in the live session and session two. And that was that QQI, the quality assurance body for the further education and training sector and also for higher education, have recently released their guidelines for online, fully online and blended learning programs. This is important because it shows that this modality of learning is now seen as part of the landscape of both further education and training and higher education in Ireland going forward. And there's good reason for that. It has been well supported by research and by requests from the students. So on this slide, there are a number of examples of what blended learning looks like. And some of these we've already talked about in our course. But it's no harm to just reflect on this, see which ones you're doing at the moment or which ones you might use in the future. And again, you should only think about using any of these if you believe that they have a purpose with your learners. And the one that I want to just pick out, one or two things, is the second one down, for example. So a learning management system, that could be Google Classroom, designed to support online discussion, digital learning resources, tests and quizzes for formative and summative assessment. So that's something that we're going to be doing today. A video conferencing system that supports online synchronous learning and consultation with teachers and small group discussions with peers. You've been doing this as part of the course. There are a few others in there as well that you might think of. There's one here that says a platform typically integrated into the LMS, that's Google Classroom, that facilitates development of and access to an e-portfolio for critical self-reflection and formative assessment. Fancy words, what that is, that the learners can put all their material in Google Classroom so they don't lose it. They can go back and review it and they can look at it at any time that they need to, or if they are going to be sharing material with you. In the very first one, actually, I overlooked, it says on-site face-to-face tuitions. That means you're teaching in your classroom or you're outside and you use digitally prepared presentations, class polls. Pat, I know, used Menti with you yesterday, or other digital tools to engage the learners. So these are some examples. And the point that I want to make here is that these are technologies that actually can make learning more interactive for your learners. But in and of themselves, they will achieve nothing. It's how you, as the teacher, decides how to use it. And more importantly, when you get the data, how you decide to use that data with your learners. So that's very much what we're going to be looking at. And it's very timely that these guidelines have now been published. The flipped classroom. And I know some people may think, oh, you know, I've tried this before and, you know, it didn't work. But the research is definitely showing that in a post-COVID world, students are looking to have more access to materials. May not necessarily be that you always give it to them before the lesson, even though I would recommend that you do. If they decide not to review it, that's a different question, but they have them in advance, so they have no excuses. This has come out of some work we did actually in some of the universities here in Ireland during COVID. The students wanted the material beforehand, and it's something that may not initially work with your learners, but, you know, try it out and see where it goes over time. The big thing, though, is definitely sharing it with them after the lessons. This is something that they are also looking for so that they have the materials. And as I said in the previous slide, then the material doesn't get lost. For us, we can also use assessment tools. We can assess them before we meet them to see where they are on a particular topic. For example, using Google Forms. you develop your quiz, a couple of questions, not too many, see where people are at, then that can help you in how you might structure your class. During the event, you might use something like a Kahoot, a Menti, whatever it is that you like using yourself with your learners to get a sense of, did they actually grasp that material or do I need to go back over it? And then finally afterwards, you might want to check in with them to see if they've grasped the material again, or you might want to give them an assignment, etc., etc. So we have multiple opportunities in the flipped classroom to use formative assessment. So a very simple idea when we're thinking about formative assessment is this thing called backward design. It's very, very simple. And for anything we're doing in our classrooms, I suppose we're always influenced by the learning outcomes. So once again, start with your learning outcomes and you decide, okay, what is the evidence I need to collect, which will show that your learners have achieved their learning outcomes. And then once you've decided on that, you plan your teaching activities and your assessment activities to see if you can gather that evidence at the end to see that they have mastered the material. So that's one of the ideas we want to keep in our heads today. What is formative assessment? So for the last five slides, I've been talking about formative assessment and I haven't explained what I mean. So on this slide, it's a cartoon. It's from Steve Wheeler's blog, the AFL Truth About Assessment, that is Assessment for Learning. He had the following graphic. So it's a cooking graphic, and in the background there's a chef, believe me, they're there somewhere. And on the left hand side you have a big bowl of soup and you have a ladle in the soup, and that is formative assessment. And how it's formative is, as the chef is preparing the soup, they are constantly tasting it, they are checking to see if it needs more ingredients, if it needs more salt and seasoning, etc., etc. So it's testing as they are going through the process of making the soup. When the soup is finished, it is then served to the guests, and they are the ones who decide if the soup is good or not so good. So formative is very much associated with the process, and we're testing and checking as we're going along. So over the next couple of slides, I'm going to very quickly introduce you to a couple of technologies that are typically used with formative assessment. And the first one is Kahoot. Now, we have shared some materials with you on further materials on Kahoot if you have never used it before, but it's a game type activity. During lockdown, many families actually used it for having little quizzes among themselves. It's a fun way of engaging with your learners. Why would you even use it? Well, we all know that, you know, when we're teaching a topic and we ask our learners, has anyone got a question? Very rarely does anyone put up their hand. People are shy, and they've learned a long time ago that if they show that they don't know something, it may be seen as a sign of weakness. So when you use a tool like Kahoot, it gives people a chance to share with you in an anonymous way whether they understand the material or not. So it's a real way of gathering evidence from your learners as you're going through the process of teaching them a topic to find out if they actually understand the material or not. So the next tool we have on the slide is Mentimeter, and I know Pat used this with you in the live session two. Again, Mentimeter is a very simple tool to use. It's like Kahoot. And the idea here, as with Kahoot, is that it can be used on your phone. In recent days, I myself was at a conference where we had over 800 participants, and Mentimeter was used to great effect. People were able to answer yes, no. We were able to give those little polls that QQI mentioned in their slide. And also it allowed people to share comments like we do on Padlet as well. But this is another option. So it's something that if you are using Kahoot a lot and you feel you might have exhausted its use, this is another one that you might look at. Again, though, my key message is as follows. Think about what you're trying to achieve. What's the purpose? What are you trying to get out of your learners, and how are you going to use the data? And then ask the question, maybe of your mentor, is Mentimeter something I could use? And then, of course, you have Google Forms, which you all have access to in Donegal ETB. You can create a quiz with Google Forms. And on the next slide, I'm highlighting that there is a resource that has been developed by Donegal ETB by Francis, and you can access that link in the materials section to learn more. And also, Evan and Francis have created some resources that you can use this week around assessment. When you use something like a Google Form for assessment, it's reusable. You have it there. You can go into the page. You can change it depending on the quiz that you want to create. You can change it for the audience. And like the other tools, you get automatic feedback. Instead of just having flat pages with questions, you can add in pictures, multimedia. You could have a video. You could have an audio file. All of these things are possible. And you in the background, so the engine, the Google engine, is monitoring who's responding. You can see very quickly how many people succeeded on a particular question. You can see if there was any issues around a particular question. You can then target your feedback to the students who need most help. So you're personalizing or differentiating. And ultimately, it's a very rich way and an instant way to find out how your learners are doing and to change up your teaching strategies to immediately to help those who need additional support. And as I mentioned in the material section this week, Francis and Evan have created another number of videos for you, and we also have included a link to a Donegal ETB video called Using Assessment on Google Classroom, and Francis has recorded that one for you. So there's another resource that you and your mentor can visit if you want a little bit more information on using Google Forms to support formative and even summative assessment in your classroom. So over the last couple of slides, we've looked at a couple of tools that we've shared with you already on this course and are very commonly used in the blended learning classroom. Now, for a moment, we're just going to think about the types of feedback you can give to students when they submit work to you. So again, you may ask them to write an essay, you might ask them to create a PowerPoint presentation. And within those tools, you actually are able to provide audio and video feedback, but audio will do fine for starters, where you record your feedback. It saves you time. You don't have to type out a long set of feedback. And also, the evidence is from the research that learners really enjoy it. So again, I don't know if that's something that is relevant to you, but maybe in time, this is an area you might consider providing digital feedback to your learners. Formative assessment on a phone. So oftentimes people say to me, oh, but the students don't have the equipment and etc. But we should always think, particularly for formative assessment, that it can be done very effectively on a mobile phone. So using tools like Kahoot, Menti, you can even use Padlet on the phone, is really good. Now, learners often don't like using their own data. So if there is Wi-Fi in the center where you're working, then they should be able to connect to the Wi-Fi on their phones, and they're using it for a learning purpose that you have decided. So again, I want you to think about that. And you can use it in the ways that I've spoken about earlier to check before class what they know. You can use it during class to check understanding as well. And it does bring gamification to learning, and it's another approach. It's a novelty that learners seem to like, but ultimately it's giving you data that can help you to refine your teaching, to focus on those who really need your help. So the phone is your friend in this case. The changing world of assessment. So before we finish, I just want to flag that we need to be aware, and maybe you're hearing some of your colleagues talking about artificial intelligence, particularly things like generative AI tools. They're probably talking about things like Chat GPT. They might be talking about things like Bard. They may be thinking about They may be talking about things like Bing Chat or other tools like DALL-E, etc. If what I've just said in the last few seconds goes well over your head, then ignore what I've been saying. But for some of you, this might be of interest. And there's a lot of hype out there about the use of artificial intelligence across further education and training. There are lots of people making claims about it. On the slide, I've just borrowed a very nice graphic from John Spencer and his blog, and you can go and read John's blog if you like. And he's saying things like that we will have less grading but more assessment. And he's possibly right. I think he is. I think things like AI will become part of those tools that I have been mentioning on the previous slide, and Kahoot, Menti, etc. And they'll allow us to do more assessment to find out where the students need help and where we can target more supports for them. It will also give that faster feedback that I've been talking about on the slides. There are other uses of AI where it can generate differentiated materials and differentiated assessments. So you might want to have different assessments on the same content for your students, and AI can help you there. It'll give us data, which we know can help us, but data is only as good as what you do with it. And ultimately, it is going to empower students to own the assessment process. I do believe this. Students themselves can actually use some of those tools that I have spoken about themselves, so they can do a little check on themselves to see where they are. So all I want to do on this slide is have a chat with your mentor about this, about artificial intelligence and where it might go and what it might be of relevance to you and your students. But again, if it's over the top for you, leave it. Okay, so we're at the end. And again, I want you to try something out this week. So our focus is formative assessment. And the overarching task is to pick a tool to try out with your learners. So I'd ask you to maybe try a tool that you haven't used very often or that you've never used before. First question is, what learning outcomes do you want to assess? So going back to the backward design, what is it you want to see if they understand? And you can, in thinking about the blended learning, you could design it for before the actual live event, during the live event, or after the live event. So which part of the lesson are you going to focus in on? Then what evidence will show that the learners have attained the learning outcomes? So maybe it might be text, a couple of questions that you're going to ask them, or you might ask them to share an image if they were making something or drawing something, or it could be an image from the outdoors. And there may also, it might be that you want them to share some audio or some video. It's up to you, and pick something that is relevant. And then you have to think about, okay, this is what I want to do. What tool might work best for this purpose? And again, might have a chat with your mentor on this. If you want to email myself or Teresa, you can do that. We will have a Padlet wall for all of this. So anyone who's struggling, just put up your question. It can be anonymous. We'll answer you back and we'll give you help. And then we want you to tell us how it worked. And don't be afraid to ask your learners as well. And most importantly, have some fun and see how it works. Enjoy.